And good morning to you. This is Catherine Davis, host of Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network. I'm really happy to be sharing this morning with you. It's so beautiful today after it seemed like endless days of clouds in our skies. But today the sun is shining. And we have a very special program for you this morning. But before getting to that, I wanted to let you know that opening theme is called Frog Dancing, David Anthony Clark. I absolutely love that music because for me it feels very uplifting, shamanic. And I always want to dance and rock and move with that music. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about in our segment today, the second segment, is how powerful music can be to the healing process, as well as how powerful it can be to uplift us in our physical body, as well as our spirit, our soul awareness. Music is a very powerful tool. We've spoken about it before on this program, but we're going to be speaking about it again in an interview with Radha Borafasina, and she's actually going to be here in New York. She's in California is where she's centered, but she'll be here in New York and participating in an event that we are going to be talking about today, the New York City's Amazing Holistic Health Expo. And you'll have an opportunity, should you desire to do that, to participate in that event and really be moved and inspired by the music that she will be sharing with you. So I really do invite you to stay tuned to that part of the program. Also, in our first segment, we are going to be talking about this expo. And this was a conversation I had last week, and I was really, really surprised by just how much I was inspired by this conversation. Very often when we talk about these various events that are taking place in the city, they are more a conversation of promotion, this is happening, this is what I'm doing, you know, come to our event. But in this particular conversation, we went so much deeper into the meaning of being holistic and the meaning and what we can do to have an impact on the communities in which we live. So I am really happy to share it with you. I found it quite inspiring, and I hope you will as well. And again, you'll be able to connect with these people at this event. It's coming up the end of the month. We'll get all the details out. And but really just listen to these people who are participating in this conversation, and they will share their feelings, their interaction, their contributions, and the great inroads they're making in transforming the world. And we each have that power in our own families, in our own neighborhoods, in our own communities, with people who look like us and people who don't. We can make a difference in the world when we connect to our inner selves, our true being, our wisdom, and allow that to guide us in the world. And that's really what this conversation is about. And so we're going to listen to part one of this talk, and then we'll come back to part two. So stay tuned for this introduction to the Amazing Holistic Health Fair. And we are being joined by Benjamin Bridges, and he is the coordinator for the Amazing Holistic Health Conference. And we also have joining us Leonard Berg, who is a soul therapist and holistic educator. A little bit later, we're going to be hearing from one of the musicians who's going to be participating in the event. We will be joined by Revelin, a singer and team member of the New York City Amazing Holistic Health Expo. So, Benjamin, Why amazing?
Well, I tell you, I believe that nowadays, even though the internet has all this technical know-how and you can plug in and get information here, there, and everywhere, many people, even though holistic alternative medicine is at their fingertips and able for them to use it, but at the same time, so many people still are not aware of the fact that holistic medicine is at their disposal and they could use it easily. And the thing about it is, what we have that makes so many other fairs and programs different is we have an amazing source of information that can change and heal people's lives.
Well, that's pretty good, I have to say. So the New York City's amazing Holistic Health Expo, and it seems like it's going to be a beautiful event. It's a two-day event,
mm-hmm.
Saturday and Sunday. The 2 days are very different from each other.
Right.
So give us a little sense of what Saturday will be and what Sunday will be.
Okay. Well, Saturday is basically dedicated totally towards holistic medicine, herbology. We're going to have acupuncturists there. We're going to have chiropractors. We're going to have masseuse there. We're going to have tap therapists there. Quite a few different folks with a number of different natural remedies on how to be about getting into healing without all the side effects, you know. And the other side of it is that being that we're going to be focusing on that, not only are we going to have people offering their services, but we're also going to be having folks talking about these different paths of healing and how they can be incorporated into different people's lives. So that's for the 28th. Now, on Sunday, we're going to be dealing with a whole horse of a different color. The way that that's a different situation is that anybody that knows anything about holistic medicine, they know that we're not just dealing with the physical, but we're dealing with the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. And this aspect is more dealing with the spiritual and the mental aspect, because we're going to be talking about the miraculous power of prayer and meditation and how not only can it heal and elevate and help people as an individual, but it can also help to heal communities. It can help to heal nations. And all we need to do is to actually, as I say, it's going to be like a spiritual unity conference. So we're going to come together. But in united prayer and united meditation, a lot of miraculous and powerful things can happen. Some amazing things can happen.
So that's pretty cool. And we'll go over all of this for people so they'll remember that they can find this information, because you have a website.
Yes, we do.
Where people can go and get their tickets and find out more about the event. NYC Amazing Holistic Health Expo.com.
There you go.
So people can go there, you can go there, and find out the details. It's November 28th and 29th at the National Black Theater, and that's 2031 Fifth Avenue,
mm-hmm.
between 125th and 126th Street. You have a number here. Is this number for people who want to participate in the expo or for, like, tickets and stuff like that?
For both.
For both? Mm-hmm. That number is
914-979-6372.
Okay, say that again.
914-979-6372.
Excellent, excellent. So we got the details, and then we can go a little bit deeper into the conversation. And so I wanted to invite you, Leonard, to tell us a little bit about what you are doing. It seems to me that you're one of the presenters at the event, a soul therapist and holistic educator. That's pretty amazing itself. So tell us what a soul therapist is.
Well, yes, it's amazing, because too often people think that the healing comes from the herb or the healing comes from something physical. But actually, it's the other way around. The healing energy, the essential energy, is perhaps using these things as a vehicle. But we have a source of healing which is that same source of healing that gives us life. And within ourselves, we have what we call a soul or a spirit, which is the life-giving element within a human being. And it is the source of the healing. And when we look at what's going on in the world today, and people are gnashing their teeth and fretting about how we're going to solve some of the problems, but one of the problems is that we think that we're doing the solving.
Mm-hmm.
We think that we're doing the healing, when what's really necessary is to open up to that divine wisdom, which can guide us as to the things we need to do to heal ourselves and heal the world. So soul therapy is simply a way of getting in touch with the underlying thoughts, emotional complexes, and ideas that are at the root of our physical conditions.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that once you get in touch with the root and you uproot it, then it's complementary to other healing modalities. It gets at the causes or the things that perpetuate these conditions. And once you do that, then you get guidance. For instance, to give a concrete example, I work with some holistic healers who are very good at giving a medicine or touch that takes away the pain. But it's like mowing grass. They mow the grass and it grows right back.
Mm-hmm.
Because the client may not even do or follow the regimen that they've been given. And part of the reason is because the healing has not gone deep enough. And so what I help to do is to get the person in touch with the ideas, let go of those ideas and emotions that are perpetuating the condition.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I understand it very well. And you're also a holistic health educator, and you get to work with people in a way, I think, that is more transformative maybe than some of the other holistic healing modalities. So what would it look like for a person to come to you who has a problem and you're working on getting to that deeper level?
Well, the difference between this kind of therapy and other kinds of therapy is that we understand that all roads lead to healing, meaning whatever the client brings to me, that's where we start. And what we find is that very often you can tell what's going on with a person by what they project. So we love it. People come and they're talking about other people and they're being very free with their feelings and thoughts about and opinions about other people. And sometimes it's a sure sign that they're really talking about themselves. So what we do is act as a mirror and help people to see how to take what they're perceiving outside of themselves and put it in their inner life and see what it means within their inner life.
Mm-hmm.
We do the same thing with dreams. A lot of times we are not aware of what's going on, so we need pain or we have dreams or we have relationships that try to bring that consciousness to us. And we want to get to the point where we're able to go within and actually access that ourselves in a way that guides us towards doing the right thing, the thing that will take us to the next step of our physical and spiritual health.
Beautiful. And we're also joined by Revlin, who's a singer and team member of the New York City Amazing Holistic Health Expo. And tell us a little bit about your participation and involvement in bringing this event together.
Thank you. And it is a it's an honor to be here, to be on your show, Kathy, and to be working with my fellow brothers and sisters on this event, because this is something that our community sometimes dances around and doesn't always know how to join. The alternative healing methods that you were just hearing about are very important, because just in terms of physics, two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time. So if you have a whole lot of stuff or junk in your trunk, in your emotional trunk, and yet you're trying to heal or put something on top of that without removing it, it's really not going to work. You may be able to dance with it for a while, but eventually you're going to trip over that lump in the rug. And so these kind of more, quote, progressive modalities for healing really excite me. I will be there and I will be singing, but I'm participating also because I understand and very much support these methods of healing our community. Particularly, I am concerned about youth, why we think so little of ourselves, what is going to change that expression that is away from self-love and self-acceptance. And I'm also very concerned about our elders who have been thrown away and ridiculed by the youth and really don't have a space in our community anymore, where we used to sit in a circle and the elders would add their wisdom. Right now, they are made to feel like they have no place. So it is not just a place for youth. It is not just a place for adults. It's a place for our community as we exist right now. And there is something there for everyone. And hopefully the songs that I sing will help to open those hearts. That's why I chose the ones that I did. And we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Yes, you know, thinking about the elders, when you're on this planet long enough, you come to know certain truths. And the whole basis of soul-based healing, energy-based healing, is consciousness. There's an old saying, know the truth and the truth shall set you free.
Amen.
And what we have experienced is that when you engage a person in therapy where they're able to be aware of what's really going on and be truthful about it, here's what happens. We know that absolute truth is something that may seem to be out of reach, but we have found that when you are truthful, when you're honest about what you're feeling, about what you're thinking, about what you're intuiting, and you're able to express that and be conscious and aware of it, lo and behold, you gain access to certain spiritual energies which then deliver you.
Yes, and also when you feel safe enough to be truthful, when you feel safe enough to come out and say, no, I really never loved my mother until I was an adult, or I was always afraid of my brother because I always thought he was angry. I mean, whatever it is, those things that are in the closet in our family circles, those things, and they used to laugh at me and call me black and ugly, or they used to tease me and say I was a high yellow bee. You know, all of those hurtful things that we have carried, these scars since slavery, we got to get rid of them because time is quickening, and we don't know what's next. But we need to clean this up so that whatever is next, we can be prepared for it.
And when you're able to see it, then you experience that I am not it. I am that I am. It is what it is. And so you can let go of it.
Beautiful. Yes.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to share with you as well is that, and looking at the big picture with this, many times as we are very spiritual people, and it just goes beyond just being black. But when you look at the situation or the scenario of prayer and meditation, so many times I've seen how the power of this has changed and transformed people. And that's one of the beautiful things about prayer and meditation, that it has the ability to help people to elevate themselves, especially when you have a group that's praying for the upliftment and the healing of people. So that's one of the reasons why I see spiritual unity as such a divine blessing that can come into a community. Where I've seen where, for example, there's a situation where we teach meditation in the schools. And I've seen where we were in a very violent school where there was a lot of fighting in the school just about every day. And one of the problems that occurred with that school was that out of desperation, we got with the kids that were actually dealing with our meditation class. And we said, listen, let's meditate on bringing some peace into the school so all this fighting and negativity can stop. And it took about 2 weeks, but after that 2 weeks of constantly seeing the whole school in a state of everybody in that school, all the students in a state of total peace and tranquility, that it actually happened. Now, the funny thing about it, some of those students were in gang members and things, and if you would have pulled them to the side and said, you know, intellectually, we need to have a conversation and talk about the fact that you shouldn't be involved in all this violence, they would have probably just told you off, right? Mm-hmm. But because you were dealing from their higher self, and that energy was actually translating to their higher self that wants to cooperate, it was able to put them in that tranquil space, which actually brought them to a place where there was no more fighting in the school. So
That is a beautiful story. What is the organization that you work with that actually teaches meditation?
It's called IQ Meditation. Mm-hmm. IQ Meditation is basically for the schools and for students and for adults as well, but basically it helps you to get better grades because you get your concentration together, you get more focused, and when you can get rid of the stress and the anger anger that many times really causes a lot of confusion in people's lives, once that is dissipated and disappears, it gives you an opportunity to really get focused on the things that you need to do. And one of the things that students need to do in school is really get focused on the work that they're doing.
What city are you working in?
We're in good old Mount Vernon. They call it money-earning Mount Vernon.
I have a lot of friends in Mount Vernon.
Oh, okay,
some
great.
Of my Qigong students actually travel to Brooklyn.
Oh, okay,
from Mount
wonderful.
Vernon. So I know there's a lot of spiritual people for you to connect with.
Hey, there you go.
I just wanted to add something to what Mahesh was saying, which is that once the focus and the discipline of meditation is accessed by the students, it begins to open up other spiritual powers that we have, that we all have, and that we use, and sometimes not even consciously, like what happens with prayer. And without being too specific because of the work that we did, I would like to share something else that Mahesh worked with students. I worked with some adults to try to rectify a situation across the waters in Africa where a lot of people had been killed and by a particular group of people, and we just sent them love. And on a particular morning and the night before, people raided their camp and broke up, and a lot of the people that were being tortured and held captive escaped. And like I say, we can't say that it was because of what we were doing, but we cannot also say it wasn't, because it hasn't happened since. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying that, you know, once you understand who you are, as you begin to understand who you are as a human being, and all these things that you have access to that you had been taught that you were powerless to do anything about, you'll find out that that's not true. We can do and be almost anything that we want to. We just have to understand and be committed to the formula that gets us there, and certainly meditation and prayer and sending energy are things that we can use right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'd like to just say a word about the relationship between prayer and meditation. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, "Pray, therefore, believing that that which you pray for, you already have." And this is a great secret to prayer, which is being thankful. And then once you're being thankful, then you can be still, meaning that you can wait for your answer. The essence of meditation is actually to stop the mind, to get beyond the mind into the spiritual realms of consciousness. And once you do that, you receive what we call divine revelations. These divine revelations guide you to right action. Some people think meditation is some kind of escape. But no, meditation is really getting your divine instructions, getting your divine guidance. But in order to do that, you have to lose your mind.
That is wonderful.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And one of the things, actually, my wife and I, we have a conference going on right now. It's called Stop the Violence Youth Conference, and it's in 6 schools in the Mount Vernon area. And we had a beautiful meditation program today in one of the schools with some of the students. And, you know, we just did a guided meditation with them and brought them into a space where they saw themselves in a stadium right down there in good old mid-Manhattan. You know, the big stadium that we have that holds about 50,000 people, you know, and in the garden there. But basically, I was telling them, each of them, that I wanted you to see yourself in that stadium, see your mom up on the platform there with you with tears all in her eyes because she's so proud and happy of you, you know, to see that you have achieved such great success. And here comes the mayor of New York City with a plaque getting ready to give you an award for the great things that you've done to give back to the community. And I said, don't you feel how great a feeling that is? Don't you know that this doesn't have to be just a vision of what you can do, but it's a reality of what is? See yourself as pulling that greatness, that seed of greatness that's there out of you, and actually let it become a reality for your future and for your present. And after the meditation, they were like, wow, you know. It was the first time I did that with these students, you know. So it was really an interesting experience because they really enjoyed the process. But these are things that we need to do with our youth so that they can see the light at the end of the tunnel and see their full potential. And meditation helps to open doors that allows youth and adults to actually see the greatness that's there. And just to, instead of saying, well, I can't really do that, or I'm not worthy, or just banish all that negativity, all those fears and doubts, and allow your dreams, your goals to become a reality in your life by seeing it, believing it, and achieving it.
There's a great author by the name of Neville. He wrote a book called Resurrection. And in the book, he emphasizes that if you're able to, in this moment, imagine how you would feel were your goal to be already achieved, you've actually set in motion that magnet which attracts that result to you. And the other side of that is that when you're thinking about other people, especially, let's say, people who you're in conflict with, you actually help yourself more by thinking positive of them than negative. Because when you send out negative energy, it comes back to you tenfold. So if you don't have anything good to think about them, send them, as the sister said, send them some light, send them some love, and imagine them doing the right thing rather than focusing on them doing the wrong thing.
Very powerful. So let's remind people that we are here to let them know about the New York City Amazing Holistic Health Expo. And the more I talk to you, I'm beginning to see why it's Amazing Holistic Health Expo. And it's going to be not this weekend, but the following weekend, November 28th and 29th. And it is at the National Black Theater, 2031 Fifth Avenue, between 125th and 126th Streets in Manhattan, in New York. And you can get your tickets online at nycamazingholistichealthexpo.com. You can also call for more information. The number is 914-979-6372. That's 914-979-6372.
And yes, that number is, let's see if I can find it, 914-979-6372. And it was really a heartfelt conversation. And for me, it was really almost like coming into contact with soul family from the perspective of just deep understanding of what is the world and who are we and what can we do to make a magnificent difference in all that's going on. And the truth is, anyone who is listening to the Progressive Radio Network is someone who cares, who wants to know what's happening in the world and wants to change for the better. So I encourage you, all of you, to do that. Look into your own life and see how you can make a difference in yourself, your communities, and the world. Not just listen, but participate. And for those of you who are interested in this particular event, we'll continue to share information as we go on throughout this morning's program. Please do stay tuned, however. We're going to have a very special segment coming up, and you'll be hearing some very sacred devotional music. Stay tuned as we take a few station announcements.
Keep listening to PRN. Listening to PRN. Listening to PRN. The Progressive Radio Network. Progressive Radio Network. Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. I'm John Mueller from The Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want to know what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America, tune in twice a week and get it from the horse's mouth, from someone like me who's had boots on the ground down here for over 20 years. Latin America is one of the only places left in the world where you can still live a first world life on a measly social security check. And with the first world imploding like it is, everybody needs a plan B. So, tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time and every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time for The Expat Files, Living in Latin America.
This is Maria Heller, host of The Maria Heller Show, heard at MariaMERIA.net 4 days a week. But every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern, you get to hear one of the best shows of the week on The Maria Heller Show right here on PRN.FM. If you missed the show, they're archived right here on site at PRN. Support Real Truth in Media by tuning in and sharing the information you hear with anyone that'll listen. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you are coming with us.
PRN. Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I am Catherine Davis, your host, and we come to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m., and our goal is to open up to each other, awaken the wisdom of our hearts, and have a transformative impact within the world. And I do hope that what I'm sharing with you today will help to do that. We've been speaking with a number of really special individuals, I feel, who have come together to create an opportunity for all of us to learn from each other, to network, to grow, and to share knowledge. And the guests are Mahesh Benyamin Bridges, coordinator of the Amazing Holistic Health Conference, Leonard Berg, soul therapist and holistic educator, and Revelin, a singer and team leader of the New York City Amazing Holistic Health Expo. In this upcoming segment, we're going to speak with and feature the work of Radha Bharathasena. And during a two-decade-long association, Radha Bharathasena recorded four devotional albums with the late Alice Coltrane, her spiritual and musical mentor. And Radha is a multi-instrumentalist on piano, organ, synthesizers, harp, guitar, and voice. She's a mezzo-soprano. She also composes music and is a record producer. And she has recorded with several members of the Cuban band Buena Vista Social Club, Roy Campbell Jr., Brian Auger, Nagu Chancellor, John and Jeff Clayton, Helen Jackson, John Barnes, Ernest Tibbs, Phil Upchurch, Alice Coltrane, Ravi Coltrane, Oren Coltrane, Michael Coltrane, Yusef Rahman, John Lehman, Cecil McBee, Muthu Kumar, Russell Smith, Dave Stringer, and I could probably go on for a very long time if I were to name everyone that she worked with. For people who want to find out more about the work of Radha Bharathasena, you can go to her website, radhaharp.com. That's RADHAHARP.com. And this is a very interesting segment. As we go back, we'll be listening to a clip of the music and chanting of Radha Bharathasena. So stay tuned. Thank you.
was an excerpt, actually, of a very long and beautiful piece. And you can find more of this online. And for those of you who want to connect with this beautiful music. But for the moment, I would like to welcome and say hello to our guest joining us at this moment, the beautiful singer and creator of that piece, Radha Botofasina. Hello and welcome to Heart of Mind.
Thank you so much.
Oh, there you are. Hi. So that was amazing, an amazing piece of music. Tell us something about the history of this music and the spiritual work that you're doing through the music.
Well, that particular piece of that song, Prema Mudita Manase Kal, it's a song that was, it's from India, and it's actually in Sanskrit. And the form of singing is called bhajan singing. The late, great Alice Coltrane developed a type of bhajan singing in this country that had never been heard before because her roots were, of course, in the Christian and in the gospel music coming out of Detroit. And she was a church organist and pianist throughout all of her teenagehood, playing there for the churches. So when she began to play the Indian music, the bhajans, she would also did it with the flavor of the gospel roots. You could hear it. And when she started teaching it to different people, myself included, she encouraged us to sing it the way we would sing it, not to try to imitate a sound from India, but just to sing it from our hearts. And she explained to us that even if we didn't understand the words, that our soul, it was like still a seed that was being watered inside of our soul, and that our soul understood it and resonated. So prema is like divine love. And by bringing this music, this particular album that it came from, which was Songs of the Eternal Soul, we were paying homage to Alice Coltrane's way that she taught us how to chant like this. And we just wanted to play it in extended forms because that's the way she used to play it. When we would be chanting with her, it might go on for 2 hours because she would just take it all over the universe and back again. So in our own small way, we were trying to do that. And I was also incorporating the harp with that because she was the one who told me to play the harp. And she gave me one of her harps. And so you'll hear harp parts that I'm playing back there as well.
It's really incredibly beautiful music, and I understand that you are going to be participating in this wonderful event, the New York City Amazing Holistic Health Expo. You'll be performing there.
Absolutely.
Well, that is so amazing. So we're in studio right now with Benjamin Bridges, or Mahesh, Leonard Berg, and Revelin as well. And so I'm going to open up the mic so we can interact a bit.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Radha, I have not met you, but I just wanted to tell you that when my daughter was born, she was born at home. There were two midwives there, and I insisted that we play Alice Coltrane during the whole delivery, which I did. Mm-hmm. I also have been out to the ashram there, and I remember walking in and hearing the people there chanting, the brothers and sisters. And I was just like blown away because I said to myself, it's almost like you can feel us being in a cotton field, but elevated. And if we could have been singing this music in the cotton field, we wouldn't have been there very long because it was freeing. The voices were just so rich and deep, and they were, you know, it was the chants because I had, you know, been in places where they normally do the chanting in a normal way. But the richness of the sounds that came from that moment, I will never forget. So I'm so glad that we are meeting this way. It's very, very beautiful.
I just wanted to make something that I learned at her feet, at Swamini Alice Coltrane's feet, was that she would always include one of the African-American spirituals. And in most of her recordings, she would always play at least one spiritual. And as one day I had the privilege of sitting in the studio with her for hours as she mixed a song called Every Time I Feel the Spirit Moving in My Heart, I Will Pray. And I kept saying to myself, why am I being allowed to sit here for like 4 hours listening to this mix? And then many, many years later, I realized the importance of those African-American spirituals because they were not written. They were of the spirit. And they were the spirit that carried the people through those 256 years of incarceration. It was the music that was a hybrid of the language and the pentatonic scales that came out of Africa and what they heard over here in the Western scale. But they translated it to something higher so that they could make those songs flung up to heaven. And so all that's combined to even go even higher when you're hearing the budgens, the names of the Lord on top of that. And it's like, it doesn't get much better than that.
You mentioned the heavens, because people should know that another name for Alice Coltrane was Swami Turiya-Sangitananda, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely.
And in Sanskrit, the Turiya is the dream state, a state wherein you can gain divine revelations in the dream state. And when you listen to that kind of music, it puts you in that same place beyond the physical where you go when you're in the dream state. Well, that's one thing I wanted to mention. Another thing is that there have been experiments done with water where you take a picture of water when people are projecting loving, kind thoughts, and the crystalline structure is beautiful and symmetrical. That same water, when the thoughts are negative and evil, the crystalline structure is all crooked. Now, we know that the human being is 67% water. The world is 67% water. So we know that your thoughts and emotions impact the water. Now, what are we? We're water and we're earth. There's a book called The Secret Life of Plants, which proved that the energy and the vibrations around the plants dictate whether it grows or not. Our bodies are made up of plants. So what I'd like to summarize this with is this. We're not saying that merely meditating and the way of thinking is going to, for instance, stop terrorism. But we need to understand that our problem is a lot of time we're looking for solutions and actions, but we're not doing it with divine wisdom. And so through prayer, through meditation, through this type of music, through positive thinking, you get the kinds of insights to produce the kind of action that will bring about a solution to the problems of the world.
Absolutely, and all day long I've been resonating with this phrase that the pen is mightier than the sword, and that's just on one level. But what you're saying is 100% correct, because this is called Kali Yuga, according to Eastern philosophy. This is the age of ignorance. But the prescription for the age is just to chant. Chant the names of the Lord and just keep it going. And a form of that chanting also was here in this culture of African-American folk, the diaspora. You know how they would say the name of Jesus and just keep on going, and they would just go into a static state. So it's that there's power in the names, the holy names, and what that represents within ourselves. I'm 100% agreeing with everything, because it's all positive. And to think so many great people are on the line right now, all wishing for the same thing. I know that's what Mahesh Binyamin is bringing to this event that's going to happen on the 28th and 29th. It's bringing that consciousness thing that we can all grab that and go back to that dignity that the old people always spoke about, because we are a dignified culture, and we need to just bring that. And we are a devoted culture, devoted to God in our hearts. So we just need to rekindle that all over.
Well said, Radha. And I believe that when you're talking about the tools that God has given us to elevate ourselves to a higher level, to that God-conscious level, because even, I mean, if you look at Jesus, you know, he even said, the things I do, you can do and more. So the power of that God self is lying dormant in so many of us. It just needs, that button just needs to be pushed. Power of prayer can push that button. The power of meditation can push it. And the other thing that, as you said, Swamini used to bring that message so many times through her music, such a powerful, powerful message, because the power of music is another tool that can really awaken that inner consciousness of an individual or a group of people if they actually use it on a regular basis. So we need to start to tap into some of these different forms of spiritual upliftment for ourselves, for our people, and for the world, because these are things that can take us to a whole nother level. I mean, we see what greed, we see what hatred, we see what anger can do, and why the world is in such a state of confusion right now. But imagine if we got it on the flip side, where we actually focused on divine love, where God's pure love could rule the day. And this can come about through the tools that we're talking about using.
Just one quick thing about the soul. The reason why I call what I do soul therapy is because, and this is for the young people who may be listening or hear this, you take your first course of psychology,
They tell you that psychology comes from the root word psych, which is a study of the mind and behavior. But lo and behold, when you do your research, you see that the word psych, the root etymology of it is soul or spirit. So you cannot take the soul and the spirit out of psychology. And the reason that it's not as effective as it could be is that very fact that there are those who don't know how to take to include the divine without getting hung up in sectarian religion. So the soul, psychology should be a process of getting in touch with the soul and not just some kind of mental intellectual thing.
I just wanted to say one thing, getting back to the music for a minute, and actually getting back to sound, because I remember when I was about 14, I went on my first demonstration in Baltimore, Maryland, to integrate a restaurant down there. And as we walked around, we were singing. We were singing, maybe Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Round, or something like that. And I started walking, and I must have walked for 4 hours. I would not give up my picket sign. I had no, at any point was I ever tired. It was almost like the music just took me. It carried me. It was on point with my mission, and I was on point with its mission. Nobody was going to turn me around. So that is how, in a way, our music is used. That is what I heard when I went to Alice Coltrane's ashram. And I just wanted to say something really quickly. On New Year's Eve this year, we did it last year on a smaller scale, we're doing a countdown. So there's a 10-second countdown before you say Happy New Year. But as you go down, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, we're asking people to yell peace for 2 seconds, and then 4, 3, on, and then 2, 1, earth. So you're saying peace on earth, and then you can say Happy New Year. And we are going to try to do that so as many people all over the world in whatever language they speak can be on point and shift, help to shift the vibration away from terror and hatred, which are just a tactic, you know, as far as I can tell, to get to the resources. So we're pitted against each other, but to get beyond that and get to a state of peace. So it's peace on earth, and you'll hear a lot more about that, too.
Radha mentioned bhajans, and I should mention that from the east, they say it's from the east, but actually, no, the east is really not a direction. The east is where the sun rises. It symbolizes the third eye, where the light of enlightenment rises when you go into higher states of meditation. And when you go into higher states of meditation, you also experience the inner bhajan, meaning the celestial music begins to play. And this celestial music is like the Pied Piper. It draws the soul upward and also brings about an experience of that divine nectar that you get from within.
You know what you're just saying? It's very interesting because I was just in Dominican Republic in August playing a concert of my music and with some of the members of the National Symphony Orchestra there, and they're very classically trained and all that kind of stuff. I'm not a classical harpist at all. But because when the harp was first given to me by Swamini Alice Coltrane, she told me that I wouldn't need to take lessons. She gave me a book of exercises in Italian, so you could only read the notes, not whatever it said in there. And what began to happen over the years, especially after she left, there was this transmission that it would take me to a certain part where I would just start getting shortness of breath, and tears would stream down my eyes, and this has continued to this day, and the same thing happened in the Dominican Republic. The 4 classical players thought I was having an asthma attack until they realized there's just nothing that could be done. This is just something that happens spontaneously, and that's the whole transcending thing that you're speaking about. God, meaning not a Brahma, God is sound, as that sacred word that was creation, and they say like Om was one of the creative pranamas, the words. So we all are agreeing, and all we want to do is make everybody else aware of it.
Very beautiful, very beautiful. And we're getting close to the bottom side of our program, so I just want to remind people that we're talking about the New York City Amazing Holistic Health Expo. And if you're inspired by this conversation, perhaps you should be there. November 28th and 29th at the National Black Theater, 2031 Fifth Avenue, between 125th and 126th Streets. Saturday the 28th is 11 a.m. till 6 p.m. Sunday the 29th is 3 p.m. till 7 p.m. Again, that's not this weekend, but the following weekend, November 28th and 29th. And for information, you can call 914-979-6372. Again, that number is 914-979-6372. And that's if you want information, you want to ask about the tickets, if you want to be a merchant or a vendor, any of those things, you call that number. Or you can go to NYC Amazing Holistic Health Expo.com. You are listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis, the host of this program. We come every Friday morning at 10 a.m. So how many of you knew that Alice Coltrane was also a Swami? I thought this was such a beautiful segment featuring the work of Radha Borofasina. And if you're interested in finding out more, let me spell her name for you. It's R-A-D-H-A and B-O-T-O-F-A-S-I-N-A, Radha Borofasina. Or you can go to her website, radhaharp.com, R-A-D-H-A-H-A-R-P.com. And I have to say, when I heard this music, waves go through me, so I find it to be very beautiful and very transformative. And for those of you who want to experience it live, you can do that at the New York City's Amazing Holistic Health Expo. Again, that number is 914-979-6372. I want you to stay tuned. There's going to be a lot of wonderful programming taking place here over the Progressive Radio Network. If you want to contact me, the host, Catherine, you can do that by sending an email to heartofmindradio@gmail.com, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, or go to the website, qigongonline.net. I thank you for joining me. Have a wonderful day, and stay tuned. More coming up.